I'd like to thank y'all for being out here this afternoon. And thanks again for the opportunity that I have to come and speak a little bit of God's word to you.
It's good for them to take that off. Okay, so tonight I'm going to talk about a subject that it's been touched on probably in the last few weeks or so, but it's this topic of striving for excellence, not perfection. So when I was at college at West Texas A&M near Amarillo, I was in this leadership program, and we had a saying that we strive for excellence, not perfection. It was a quote by a man named Edward Bliss that says, "The pursuit of excellence is gratifying and healthy. The pursuit of perfection is frustrating, neurotic, and a terrible waste of time." So many people in this life want to be perfect, and for good reason. Our Savior and ultimate example, Jesus Christ, was perfect. The unfortunate truth is that if we strive for perfection, we'll only be disappointed. The nation of Israel, we look at them as an example, and they had a set of laws that they were supposed to live by that called them to be perfect. And when I was younger and I was reading through Leviticus and all these laws that they were giving, all I could think was, how were they supposed to keep all of these laws? And it wasn't until later in life that someone pointed out to me, that's the point. God is showing man that they are incapable of being perfect, and that's why they need God. So no one was able to live by that law 100%, and that was the point. It was the point to show us that we are incapable of perfection. So throughout the study this evening, we're going to explore the idea that we are incapable of perfection. Other people are also incapable of perfection. And that rather than perfection, we should be striving for excellence. Turn the service over to the prayer. Okay, so exploring the idea of striving for excellence or spiritual excellence and not spiritual perfection. Let's start off with Romans chapter 3, verse 23. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So we obviously all have sin in our lives. We're all aware of this. It's an unfortunate truth that applies from the moment that we know what sin is, when we reach an age where we're accountable for our actions. At some point in our lives, we become accountable for all of our faults and are not capable of being perfect. Proof. Thank you. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. If anyone through word of mouth or through their actions are saying that they're perfect, you know, they're liars." In fact, through doing this, they're making God a liar because he has already admitted that we are imperfect creatures. So luckily, we have a God who can forgive us of our wrongdoings. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20 says, "For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." So you can be a good person and still have sin in your life. I'm sure we all have people in our lives who are an example of this. They're wonderful people, beautiful souls, but at the same time, they have sin in their lives. This verse admits that they're just people and good people in the world. I often think of my high school English teacher. She was a big role model to me, a very important influence to me, and she was a great and kind woman, but that doesn't mean that she was without sin. This verse emphasizes that we need God. We cannot be justified on our own. Psalm chapter 19, verse 12 says, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults." So sometimes we're not even aware of how and when we sin. This is the extent of our imperfection, that we can be imperfect and not even be aware of it. This verse tells us that the psalmist knows that he has done wrong and not even realized it. A popular saying in U.S. courtrooms is that ignorance of the law is no excuse, and that's absolutely true when it comes to God's law as well. It's important that we pay attention to what we do and try to keep track of what we're doing wrong so that we can do what we need to make amends. But when it comes down to it, we don't always know how often we sin. We don't always know how often we break God's law. So this is just exploring the idea that we are not capable of perfection. And the flip side of that is that no one is capable of perfection. And we need to keep that idea in our lives. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So we can't expect other people to be perfect either. If you forgive other people, God will forgive you. However, if we cannot forgive others of their faults, we will not be forgiven of our own faults. We can't hold others to a higher standard than we hold ourselves. That means being understanding of the struggles of other people. Rather than getting angry and demanding apologies from others wrong us, maybe we should have some compassion, some understanding. Luke chapter 11, verse 4 says, "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." So this is a section of the prayer that Jesus is teaching to his disciples. And this points out a very, very important aspect of that prayer, is that the only way we can expect God to forgive our sins is if we are just as willing to forgive the sins of people around us. We have to forgive others. We ask God to forgive our sins, but at this point, we can kind of expect it. I don't know if anyone has reached this point in their lives where you find yourself doing wrong, you find yourself falling from doing what you need to be doing, find yourself in the middle of sin, and you'll feel terrible and you'll feel anxious about the fact that you're living in sin, and then you'll have this thought that it's okay. God is a gracious God. He loves me. He will forgive me of my sins. And that's a wonderful feeling to have. And we need to be that gracious towards other people. Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4 says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if you repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." We have to forgive our brothers as many times as they need. This passage does state that we're to rebuke our brethren when they do us wrong, but that's more to bring their attention to the fact and not for our own satisfaction. I remember having different types of coaches whenever I was in athletics in high school, was playing sports, and there was this one type who would always scream and rant every time they caught you doing something incorrectly or doing something wrong. They would just scream at you. And then others on the other side of that would calmly and kindly let you know what you were doing wrong and offer advice for how you can fix your behavior, fix whatever you're doing wrong. So once those who wrong us realize their wrongdoing, we're to forgive them immediately. It doesn't matter how often or how many times this happens. Always forgive, like God forgives us. So we've explored this idea that we're not perfect. We've explored the idea that we can't expect others to be perfect. So what are we doing if we're not striving for perfection? We should strive for excellence. So the Oxford Dictionary definition of excellence is the quality of being outstanding or extremely good. There are synonyms to excellence include distinction, high quality, superiority, brilliance, greatness, merit, caliber, eminence, preeminence, supremacy, peerlessness, transcendence, value, worth, skill, talent, genius, virtuosity, accomplishment, expertness, mastery, prowess, ability, and supereminence. And I read that long list of synonyms to bring attention to the fact that not one of these says perfection. Perfection and excellence are absolutely not the same thing, and we should actively strive for excellence, this quality of being outstanding, being extremely good. And it requires your whole heart. Starting with Mark chapter 12, verse 30, it says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." So be excellent in your love for God and your love for others. These are the greatest commands that we have, that we love our brothers and sisters like Christ and God love us. It says to love him with everything we have, heart, mind, strength, and soul. This is a passionate love for the Lord that we need to emulate. This is an excellent form of love. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." So if you trust him with your whole heart, you will let him lead you to excellence. Just like with the Israelites with the old law, we can't be justified by our own works. We'll only end up disappointing. But if we trust in God, if we follow his commands to the best of our ability, he will lead us to a path of excellence. Psalm 119, verse 2 says, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart." Keep his testimonies with your whole heart. We show our spiritual excellence by keeping the law that he has given us to keep. John 14, verse 15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So many people today are looking for ways to honor God and to pay homage to him, like Lent practices, people sacrificing things in their lives to try and show love to God, try and show glory to God. But that's not what God's asked of us. He simply asks that we keep his commandments, and that is how we are to show our love and devotion. That is how we can show excellence in our lives. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they that make you, that ye shall enter..." I'm sorry. "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Our lives are not perfect, but we should strive to add these things to our lives. It doesn't ask for perfection, it asks for abundance, an abundance of these things. It doesn't ask us to be perfect, it asks us to be fruitful. Acts chapter 5, verse 27 through 29 says, "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men." So this is a situation where Peter and other apostles have been preaching the word of God in Jerusalem, and they've been told several times that they don't need to be doing this, but they actively ignore these people and they continue to preach the word of God. So we should always strive to obey and be excellent toward God. If Peter and the others had followed man's commands, an example, they would have stayed quiet and stayed out of trouble, but they follow God's command. Do not let man be your measuring stick. What man considers perfect and what man considers excellent are not always a good representation of what God wants. Our ideas of what excellence is should come from the Bible and the examples we're given there. So in closing, I know this was a short one, but Acts chapter 8, verse 37 says, "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." So this is the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and how this eunuch was reading the word of God, but he didn't know what he was reading. And so Philip explained it to him, and at that moment the eunuch decided he wanted to live his life for God. So Philip told this eunuch that all it requires to be baptized and to be saved was to believe these teachings with all his heart. We don't need to be perfect to be saved. I'm sure the eunuch had plenty of sin in his life, but all Philip asked is that he believed. We can do the same today. So if anyone here has need and they've been sufficiently taught, we ask that you come forward. And if anyone has been saved, they have been a Christian, but they may have since gone away from spiritual excellence, they've gone away from God, we want you to know you still have the ability to follow him. So we ask that you come forward for grace in the church. We'll stand and sing a song.